Welcome, friends. I am Dr. Suzanne Nixon, a mental health professional, meditation teacher, and the creator of Quiet Waters podcast. This platform brings together mental health, psychology, mindfulness, and meditation to support and inspire you in your quest for well-being. People seek counseling for all different reasons. I have found a common goal among all of my clients. And that goal is the desire to improve their communication. Although we are constantly communicating in our relationships, our families, our work situations, and community, many people lack the skill sets for good and effective communication. Ineffective communication, as you may have learned, will be a roadblock for being understood, for understanding another, and for cultivating a healthy relationship. Take a moment and reflect. How did you learn to communicate? Other than when you were a baby or a child, learning words and sentences? Did anybody ever sit down with you and teach you skills for communicating so you could be understood or to understand? In your work situation, did you have learning modules that focused on good communication? And if you did, was it the first time you heard about it or learned about it? In this podcast, I will teach you about mindful communication. There are many methods of communication that you can find. I like the nonviolent communication and the mindfulness communication. It takes practice to develop new skills. It takes effort to put them into practice and eventually achieve good skills in yourself and in your relationships. And what we know is that when you have good communication skills, your relationship improves. And that's whether it's a partnership, a marriage, a child-parent relationship, a family, a work situation, or a community. Your relationships will improve when you know how to talk and how to listen. Most people forget that there's two arms of communication, talking and listening. Imagine for a moment which one gets used less. Many times it's the listening. Creating a safe container. Creating a safe pathway to be heard and to hear. To speak and to listen means that you have to put to rest your judgments, your criticisms, your put downs, your sarcasm, your stonewalling, or speaking with an intensity of emotion that can blow somebody away. When we do mindfully communicate, we increase awareness, understanding, and empathy. Empathy is one of those traits that we know is essential to building a relationship towards oneself and with others. So let's break it down. I'll give you 6 points for mindful communication. And as I share them, think about it. Do I do this? Do I practice this? Is this as new or is this familiar? Let yourself be with the information and reflect. The first is to be present in yourselves and with others. To be present in yourself and with others. And what that means is that when you show up with another person, you feel a sense of connection and presence within yourself. It's that feeling of, I'm here. I'm here. I'm showing up. And I'm here. I'm not distracted by other things. Perhaps what happened in my morning routine, the afternoon routine, or the things that I have to do in the next few hours, or what I'm going to make for dinner. It means showing up and being present in the moment, and then paying attention to how you are talking and how you are listening. When we do that, we can meet the other person. And when we meet the person in our present moment, we don't bring in the past, as I like to say, the file cabinet of the past, or go to future thinking and planning and have-tos. It allows for communication to flow back and forth just by knowing that that person is present with you and you're present with them. Which you may say, as I say that, well, how do I make them present or aware? And that would be their responsibility to do that. However, when you practice it and you model it, people learn. Number two, listen deeply. Listen with your ears, with your eyes, with your body, with your senses. We think of listening with only our ears, but your eyes and your senses and the fullness of them and your body listens. You know when you pick up something from what somebody said and it creates a stir inside, or it's kind of painful or upsetting. You feel it in your body. It's not just a thought. So listen deeply with the fullness of you. And if a feeling arises, if when you're talking or listening, if a feeling arises, just notice it. Be aware of it. And there's nothing that you have to do with it in that present moment. And the same is true if a thought arises, or if you feel you want to respond right away, or there's a criticism, or no, that's not true, an opinion. Just let that thought be there, notice it, become aware, and ask the thought, please step back and return back to the present moment. We forget that we can tell our mind and give our mind direction. So when that feeling is intense or that thought is critical, or you have the temptation to lecture, you say, step back feeling, step back thought. I'll pay attention to you later when I'm not in this dialogue with this person. We call that tending to your thoughts and feelings at a later time. Number three, think before you speak and speak what matters to you in a responsible tone. with appropriate words. Many people just start speaking, or some people have practiced so much what they're going to say that when it comes out, it may not be as fluid, or it may be a surprise for the other person. They may pick up, oh, they've been planning to say all that. They've got quite a patter going on here. But if you are engaged in a relationship of any sort, friendship, work relationship, community, partnership, marriage, with your child, before you say something, give a moment just to think about what you're going to say. And say it with respect. Say it with a tone that is appropriate and words that are appropriate. And to be able to do that, know that you have to remain in awareness. You have to be aware of you. And in time, you learn to witness yourself. There's that other part of you, kind of like that alter ego that's watching you as you're talking. Many of us have that. Witnessing your own talk or the other person's talk from both being present and the witnessing mind is healthy. Additionally, when you're speaking, be aware of your talking time. Respect the other person by managing how much you talk, the time that it takes to talk, your oversharing perhaps, forgetting to take that pause and create a little space and room. Just think of a person in your own life where when you are in a dialogue, they just chatter away and chatter away and chatter away and never check in with you to see, do I want to be talking about this subject? Do I want to be hearing about this? And then if the chatter continues, as I would say, the person that is listening often drifts off. They don't pay attention because it's too much. When you are having a good dialogue, a good conversation with another person, you're aware of how much you're talking and giving pause between different sentences and listening so that the other person can either respond or comment on what you're saying. The fourth principle, silence is golden. Silence is golden. It is healthy to pause and to take in what either you have said or another person has said. It shows a behavior of contemplation, that you're being with, you're being present with what has been exchanged between the two of you. And you're taking it in. It allows space for other thoughts or feelings to emerge. It widens that space and can open up to curiosity, which is really important in communication. When you are pausing, when you are being in the space of silence, take a breath. Take a conscious breath of just inhaling, pausing, and exhaling. Another way of saying to yourself, I'm present, I'm aware, and I'm aware how I'm speaking and I'm listening. Number five, stay open and do your best to avoid assumptions. Stay open and do your best to avoid assumptions. When somebody is talking to you, they are sharing their perception, their experience, at times their opinion. And after they are done speaking, you may make an assumption about what they said or what they didn't say. Assumptions are always a downfall. You need to catch yourself. And if you're not sure what that person said, ask for clarification. I'm confused when you were talking about your work situation and the task that you had at hand. Can you clarify that for me? Or I hear that our son came home from school really upset and you were talking with a lot of passion. I'm assuming that something happened that was not good. Is my assumption correct or is it not correct? So if you find yourself making an assumption, ask for validation. Is it true or not true? Or somewhat true. People don't like it when you make assumptions. They feel as if you're prodding into, interpreting their experience. And if you are not sure what they said because of their tone of voice, because of the emotional intensity, or because of the long silence, simply just ask for clarification. I like to say, you know, I really want to hear what you said, and I lost some of it. Can you repeat that for me? I'd really appreciate that. You take responsibility if you have lost some in the communication or if you don't understand. Taking responsibility is what you need to do in order to have good communication. Number six, ask the person if they want feedback versus jumping right in and giving it to them. Ask them if they want feedback. So as we're listening, there's that part of us that wants to respond. And sometimes we respond and the communication's flowing back and forth and it's really quite beautiful. But sometimes if a person is talking about a problem, and I see this a lot in partnerships or in friendships, if a person is talking about a problem, we make the assumption that they want our opinion or they want us to fix it. And that can be a communication breaker. People often want to be listened to first if they're sharing a problem or issue or conflict or something that they just don't know what to do or where to go. They trust you enough to share it with you. They feel safe. And after they are finishing what they are saying, and that last sentence rolls out, or that last emotion is really heard with tone, or that last gesture is shown on that face, take a moment and pause and say, "Thanks for sharing. Would you like any feedback?" That will help the person feel respected. And what you'll notice is that will increase in communication from the other person. They'll be more open to share because they'll feel safer and they will trust you in that space. I've learned when raising children, you know, it's so easy to tell kids what they should do. It's so easy to go into lecture mode, right? And as my kids got older, I began to use this phrase with whatever they were saying, any kind of conflict with school, with a teacher, with a friend, a relationship that they were in, or just a general problem they were having, perhaps also a college situation, college application, or a job application or situation, after they were done saying something, instead of telling them what I thought about it or what they should do and going on that train track, I would say, "Would you like my feedback?" And you know what? Sometimes they said yes, and sometimes they said no. And as a parent, that is difficult, right? Your child or your adult child says, "No, I don't want feedback." And that's where you have to cultivate enough balance, alignment in yourself, where you have to hold back that desire to tell, to fix it, and say, "Okay. And if at some point you want my feedback, I'm right here." Parents, your child will come back to you to speak about their conflicts or their problems. They're more inclined to if you use that technique. Those are the six keys I wanted to go over with you and review. You may already notice which ones you're pretty good at and which ones you may want to improve. And only you can take responsibility for changing your communication and learning how to communicate. Only you. You can't change that other person. They have to decide that they want to change. And that will happen in time because our behavior models to others. And the behavior of good communication, when it is modeled, it will be learned. People will just pick that up, especially in family systems. If I see a mother and father yelling between them, and they have children, elementary, middle school, high school, first of all, they don't like it. Sometimes they even put their hands to their ears, remove themselves from the situation, and go in their rooms. But what's important that you realize that when you are arguing, they are learning arguing. They are learning what you practice, what you do, how you interact, in this case, with your spouse. Observation, sound, vision, and that somatic experience a person has when people are yelling is how they learn and absorb that and take it in. Adding to that, and I'll focus on parents for a moment because often parents talk about it, is the words that you choose. If you're feeling angry, and we all go through anger, if you're feeling hostility, resentment, it's okay to have all those feelings. It's how you manage them, how you direct them. And as important, the words you use. You can express those feelings, those intense feelings, without cussing, without saying all the words that you know are not appropriate. You don't have to swear. And if you do, the child learns how to swear. And then I see parents saying, "Don't say that. Don't say that word." And the kid says, "Well, you say it." "Oh, but it's different. I'm the parent." Well, it may be different in that situation, but what you are teaching them is how to swear, how to cuss when they are frustrated, angry, or resentful. And then I say to my parents, "Don't be surprised when you get a call from school because your child is either arguing too forcefully or they're cussing and swearing." Children learn by your behavior more than anything else. Children learn how to have a relationship by what you model within your relationship, which is another topic. But it's important for you to know that when you're communicating with your partner or your spouse. We all have hindrances to our communication. Get to know what they are. Make a decision that you want to work on them. Make a decision you want to learn a practice and cultivate a practice so you're understood and can understand. Just imagine if all of the community of all the world could communicate in such a way that they were understood and they tried to understand. I believe things would look a lot different. So keep that thought with you. Keep that paradigm with you. That if I mindfully communicate and I practice it in my own individual life and my relationship, family, work, community, if I do that, it will extend to others right within my reach or in my community. And if we all did it, it extends beyond the boundaries of where you are right now. So I wish you well. I wish that you were understood. I wish you listened to understand. And I wish all your relationships flow with a fluidity of communication that is good and healthy. And I wish for you that when it doesn't, you won't beat yourself up. You won't be very critical. Instead, you'll pause, realize you're learning, you're imperfect. Take that moment and think about how you could have done it differently. And then if it's in a relationship, do a do-over. The other person will like it. May you be healthy and well. And until I see you again, I am Suzanne.
There's a place of calm, there's a place of peace. It is within. There's a place of joy, there's a place of love. It is within.